Okay, bismillah wa salat wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala ali wa man wala wa ba'd. Level 3 hadith for memorization and review, Arabic lessons and hadith, Mustawa Thalith, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic language program. The first hadith, al-hadith al-awwal, which is entitled in our book, Fi ma al-bahri wa maytatihi, yani concerning the water of the sea and its dead. Yani that which dies in the sea. This naam fi ma al bahri. Okay, fi ma al bahri. Naam, concerning the water of the sea. Ma e yani ma e yani majroor kasra ma al bahri. Naam. The first hadith is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi al bahri huwa tahuru. ماءه الحل ميتته أخرجه الأربعة وابن أبي شيبة واللفظ له وصححه ابن خزيمة والترمذي. And the first hadith of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, he said the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said concerning the sea, its water, يعني هو التهور ماءه, its water is pure, يعني تهور with fatta, it means it is طاهر مطهر, it is clean within itself and it can be used to purify other things. طاهور with fatta, هو التهور ماءه الحل ميتته, and it's dead, that which dies in the sea is lawful. This is reported by the four, meaning Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasa'i. And also Ibn Abi Shayba, and in his book known as Al-Musannaf. And the wording, Al-Wallafdhu Lahu, the wording is for him, meaning Ibn Abi Shayba. Wasahahahu Ibn Khuzayma, and it was declared to be authentic by Ibn Khuzayma in his book, The Sahih, and also At-Tirmidhi in his book, The Sunan. Any question about the first hadith?
Why the wording
fil bahri is not included in the wording of the hadith? Fil bahri? The word al-bahr, you mean why it's not included in the wording of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
Because the statement in
quotation marks.
Yeah.
Because the word bahr, it came, yani in the original hadith, some of the narrations are lengthy and there's a long text which explains the circumstances under which the statement came. So the word fil bahr came in the question, not in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, the one who narrated the hadith, he's saying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by somebody about the water of the bahr, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, referring back to the question, said huwa tahur, yani meaning the water of the bahra. Okay, so it's mentioned in the question, not in the statement, but it's referred to by the damir huwa, that's referring to ma al bahr. All right, طيب. Any other question about the first hadith? Okay, the second hadith on page 7 in our textbook, al hadith al-thani في تطهير الإناء إذا ولغ فيه الكلب. يعني the means of purification of a container or a vessel, drinking or eating vessel, which the dog has licked in. This hadith is also عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تهور إناء أحدكم إذا ولغ فيه القلب أن يغسله 7 مرات أولاهن بالتراب أخرجه مسلم وفي لفظ له فليرقه وللترمذي أولاهن أو أخرىهن بالتراب. I'm reading from the notes, يعني the notes that I prepared. The wording is a little bit different in the actual book. Okay, so if we look at our book, يعني this hadith has first of all عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم tahuru with fatha, and what is more correct is that it's tuhuru with dhamma here. In the first hadith it's tahuru with fatha. In this hadith what is more correct, it is that it's tuhur, as mentioned by a number of scholars including An-Nawawi, Ibn Malik and others, that the word here more correctly should be tuhur, yani with dhamma. And that's because what is referred to here, tahur refers to the water that's used for purification, and tuhur refers to the process of purification. So what is intended here is tuhuru, the process of purification of ina'i ahadikum, of the vessel of any one of you. إِذَا وَلَغَ فِيهِ الْكَلْبِ, if a dog licks it, أَيَغْسِلَهُ سَبَى مَرَّاتٍ, that he wash it 7 times. أُولَهُنَّ بِالتُرَابِ, the first of them with surface soil. أَخْرَجَهُ مُسْلِمٌ, it's reported by Muslim. وَفِي لَفْظٍ لَهُ, and in a narration, the wording came for Imam Muslim in one of the narrations, fal yuriqhu, then he must pour it out, yani whatever is in the container that the dog licked in. Well, at Tirmidhi, in our textbook we have ukhrahunna aw ulahunna, but actually in the, when we went back to the book, the Sunan of at Tirmidhi, the wording was reversed, ulahunna aw ukhrahunna bit turab. That's how it came in the actual text of Tirmidhi. In any case, if you memorize it from our textbook, no problem. In the reverse order, it's okay. Any question about this, the wording of this hadith? Okay, again, the first word of the hadith is tuhur with dhamma. Okay, third hadith. Al-hadith al-thalithu on page 10. Fima uhilla min al-maytati wal-dami. Yani that which is lawful from al-mayta, yani something that dies of itself, is not slaughtered, and ad-dam, blood. Yani what is lawful from that which dies of itself and blood? What are the lawful things from that which dies of itself and blood? Okay, this hadith, yani in our notes I have an ibni umara, yani ibni with kasra, umara with fatha, radiyallahu anhuma, qala qala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أحلت لنا ميتتان والدمان فأما الميتتان. In my notes, as it came in the actual hadith, فالحوت والجراد. In our textbook, the wording is opposite. وأما الدمان فالكبد والتحال. And again, the wording is opposite in the textbook. In the actual hadith, in Ahmed and Ibn Majah, came the way I wrote it in the notes. أخرجه أحمد وابن ماجا. Okay, so this hadith is reported from Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with both of them, yani he and his father. He said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Uhillat lana maytatani," two dead things, yani two things that died by themselves, they were not slaughtered, have been made halal for us. And likewise, two bloods, two things that are considered blood, have been made lawful for us. فَأَمَّا الْمَيْتَتَانِ, so as far as those two things that died of themselves that have been made lawful for us, فَالْحُوتُ وَالْجَرَادُ, then they are the fish and the grasshopper. Ha? Locust. نعم. نعم. وَأَمَّا الدَّمَانِ, as far as the two bloods, فَالْكَبِدُ وَالْتِحَالُ, يعني the liver and the spleen. أَخْرَجَهُ Ahmad ibn Majah, yani reported by Ahmad and Ibn Majah. Okay, so here, yani I just want to note that in our textbook, the wording فَأَمَّا الْمَيْتَتَانِ, it came فَالْجَرَادُ وَالْحُوتُ, and actually in Ahmad and Ibn Majah it came the opposite wording. Okay, so in the notes for review, I recorded the wording as it came in Ahmad and Ibn Majah. But in any case, if you memorized it as it is in the textbook, it's acceptable, no problem. And the same thing, أَمَّا الدَّمَانِ يَعْنِي فَاتِّحَالُ وَالْكَبِدُ, came in the text in our textbook, but in the actual hadith in Ahmed and Ibn Majah came the opposite wording, فَالْكَبِدُ وَالْتِحَالُ, يعني no problem, يعني either way you memorize it, it's fine. Because it did come with that kind of wording as in our textbook in the Sunan al-Kubra of al-Bayhaqi, but not in Ahmed and Ibn Majah. So either way, it is okay, no problem. Any question? Okay, the next hadith, hadith number 4. On page 12, الحديث الرابع. عن أبي ثعلبة الخشني رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله with fatha on رسول يا رسول الله إن بأرض قوم أهل كتاب أفنأكل في آنيتهم قال لا تأكلوا فيها إلا أن لا تجدوا غيرها فاغسلوها وكلوا فيها متفق عليه. Okay, this hadith and it came in our textbook basically the same wording except that we have mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim there were a number of wordings that were close to this wording but not exactly the same. So yani however you memorized it, yani if you memorized it the way it came in the textbook, that's the way we recorded it in our notes, it's fine, no problem. This is the hadith of Abi Tha'labata al-Khushani, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, indeed we are in a land of a people, and those people are from Ahl Kitab. Shall we eat in their eating utensils or drinking utensils? He said, do not eat in them, yani in their eating or drinking utensils, except, walaikum salam, except if you do not find other than them, yani you don't find anything else to eat from, then you must wash them and eat in them or from them. Okay, any question about this hadith, number 4 on page 12? Okay. في آنيتهم. نعم. Question number, I mean, hadith number 5. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعجبه التيمم في تنعله وترجله وتو with ضم تهوره وفي شأنه كله شأنه كله with كسرة كله متفق عليه. This is the hadith of Aisha رضي الله عنها. She said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and by the way, most of the hadith, the wording came in the hadith Rasulullah, and few of them came like this, An-Nabi. So please pay attention to the wording where it used Rasulullah and where it used An-Nabi. Yani, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to be pleased with at-tayammunu, yani doing things, giving precedence to the right. And then she mentioned specifically in reference to at-tayammun, yani in his tana'ulihi, meaning putting on his sandals, watarajulihi in combing his hair, watuhurihi in his yani purification, acts of purification with dhamma, tuhur means the process of purification, wafi sha'nihi kullihi and in his affairs generally speaking, all of them, meaning that he used to give preference to the right. Any question? Purification. No, meaning that he used to start. When he was making wudu, he would start with the right hand, right foot. When he was making ghusl, he would wash the right side and then left side, giving precedence or preference to starting with the right, giving precedence to the right over the left. Now, طيب. Hadith number 6 on page 17. Hadith number 6 عن المغيرة ابن شعبة رضي الله عنه قال كنت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في سفر This word, fi safarin, is missing from our textbook. It's missing from our textbook. Fi safarin. فَتَوَضَّعَ فَأَحْوَيْتُ لِأَنْزِعَ خُفَّيْهِ فَقَالَ دَعْهُمَا فَإِنِّي أَدْخَلْتُهُمَا طَاهِرَتَيْنِ فَمَسَحَ عَلَيْهِمَا مُتَّفَكٌ عَلَيْهِ. Okay, again in our textbook, عن المغيرة ابن شعبة رضي الله عنه قال كنت مع النبي. Yani the wording fi safarin is missing from the textbook. In our textbook. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani I was with Yani Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, I was with Kuntu ma'a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a journey. I was with the Prophet on a journey. Fatawadda'a, and he performed ablution. Fa'ahwaytu, so I bend down, li'anzi'a khuffayhi, to remove his kufs. فَقَالَ دَعْهُمَا. So he said, leave them. فَإِنِّي أَدْخَلْتُهُمَا طَاهِرَتَيْنِ. Because I put them on in a state of purification. I put them on, I wore them while my feet were in a state of purification. فَمَسَحَ عَلَيْهِمَا. So then he wiped over them. Instead of washing them, he wiped over them. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Okay, again in this hadith, please make note in the textbook, the words fi safarin are missing. Naam.
In the statement, you say he put his sandals on, right?
I said he's what? His kufs.
Kufs. Okay, all right. Yeah, because no, one other I said that something about this. I should say he put his sandals on.
In another hadith?
Yeah.
In reference to what?
I think it was the one.
No, prior.
Oh, in another hadith, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay,
He used his right, he put his sandals on.
Yeah.
I mean, I asked the question was...
Yeah, that he used to give preference fi tana'ulihi, and putting on his sandals. He would put the right one on first, and then the left one.
Yeah, I mean, I was asking the question because I was kind of distinguishing from the kuf and the sandal.
Oh, no, this is completely different. They have nothing to do with each other.
Right.
Yani, that hadith is talking about putting on his sandal, his right one first. Right. This hadith is talking about, yani, washing.
Right.
Without, yani, wiping over instead of washing the feet.
That's the point I was getting to. I understand the differences in the hadith, but I was saying that in the sandal, did he have kufs, and did he put the sandal on? Because is he rubbing over the I know it's out of the tag, but like, is he rubbing over the sandal?
You can wipe over sandals, no problem. And it's also narrated from Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah in a hadith that's sahih. And Shaykh Al-Bani said that, he mentioned that hadith in Sunan At-Tirmidhi, in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi. Shaykh Al-Bani mentioned the hadith of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah. He said, تَوَضَّعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَمَسَحَ عَلَى الْجَوْرَبَيْنِ وَالنَّعَلَيْنِ. Yani the Prophet ﷺ performed the ablution, and he wiped over his jawrabaini, socks, not leather socks, regular socks. And he wiped over his sandals. And this hadith is sahih. And jawrab, it means anything that is worn over the feet, to cover the feet, to keep your feet warm, to protect them from harm, anything that's worn. And the scholars of Arabic language said, it means, yani, whatever you wrap your feet in, whether from wool, or linen, or cotton, or whatever it's made from. So regular socks are called in Arabic jawrab. And khuffain means leather socks. And both of these are narrated from Al-Mughayra ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu and others. And Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, in an authentic narration reported by Ibn Abi Shayb in his Musannaf, that wiping over the jawrab is the same as wiping over the khuffain. Wiping over the jawrabain is the same as wiping over the khuffain. And this is what is, yani, proven by a number of evidences, and from amongst the companions, there are many of them who used to wipe over al-jawrabain, socks, regular socks. Now,
when you wipe over it, if it's sandals, do you have to pray on that?
Do you have to pray on it?
Yes, it's sandals. If you wipe over the sandals, or shoes, any jawrabain.
Okay, that's another issue. I don't know if we have time to deal with the fiqh today. Today we're reviewing memorization, right? But the point is, if a person wipes over sandals, or wipes over socks, or wipes over kufs, if they have put them on in a state of purification by using water, then it's permissible to pray in your socks, or your kufs, or your sandals, and it's also permissible to take them off. But once you take them off, if you lose your state of purification, you can't put them back on and wipe over them again. Now you have to wash your feet with water. Once you take them off, if you lose your state of purification, you can't wipe over them anymore. You can't put them back on and wipe over them. Okay? But you can pray in them. You can take it off, and you taking them off does not invalidate your state of purification. So if you wiped over them, and then you're in a state of purification, if you took them off, you're still impure. You didn't lose your state of purification just by taking them off. There's no proof in the Sunnah, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, there's no proof in the Sunnah that taking off your shoes or your socks or your sandals or your boots invalidates your wudu. There's no proof in the Sunnah for this. So it doesn't invalidate it. But what it invalidates is your permissibility to wipe over them if you have lost your state of purification while they were off. Now if you want to make wudu again, you can't put them back on and wipe over them. Now you have to use water. I hope it's clear. Okay, now.
I have a question also about the sandals. Because I don't really understand the point of wiping over the sandals. Because I remember that you said one day that a condition of wiping over the socks is that they should cover your ankles. But the sandals, we know that they don't...
That's the view of some of the scholars. Now, I don't know that... Yani, what's the basis of that view? That's Ibn Hazm says that. Rahimahullah. Ibn Hazm says that it's permissible to wipe over anything that you wear upon your feet as long as it covers your ankle. That's what Ibn Hazm said. And some scholars hold that view. What's the basis of it? Allahu A'lam. Yani, what's the basis of it? Allahu A'lam. But normally if a person is wearing sandals, then yani, they may be wearing jawrab. As in this hadith of Mughayrah. He wiped over his jawrabain and his na'alain. So he wasn't just wearing sandals, but he was wearing socks or kufs with his sandals. He was wearing socks or kufs with his sandals. According to this narration of Mughayrah, yani, so that may have been what was common amongst them, that they weren't just wearing sandals. He wiped over both of them together. Now, okay. The next hadith is hadith number 7 on page 20. Hadith number 7. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اتقوا اللعنين يعني شد on the lamb and شد on the عين اللعنين قالوا وما اللعنان يا رسول الله قال الذي يتخلى في طريق الناس أو في ذلهم رواه مسلم. Okay, this hadith is concerning يعني the blameworthy state of one who relieves himself in the roadways of the people or in their shaded areas where they rest in. On the authority of Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, protect yourself, guard yourself from al-la'anain. Yani, those actions that cause the one who does them to be cursed by the people. Ittaqu al-la'anain. Qalu wa man la'anan. And they said to him, what do you mean by these two la'anan? Yani, the things that cause a person to be cursed. O Messenger of Allah, he said, the one who relieves himself in the tariq al-nas, in the roadways of the people that they travel upon, or in their shaded areas, yani the areas that the people rest in from, yani seeking shelter from the sun. This hadith is reported by Al-Imam Muslim. Any question? Okay, hadith number, page 22, الحديث الثامن والتاسع. يعني this two hadith came together, one in the text for this hadith and one in the explanation for the hadith. يعني in the following page on 23, in the explanation of the meaning of the hadith came hadith number 9. So we have two hadith in this chapter. Hadith number 8, which is the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, and hadith number 9, which is the hadith of Samura ibn Jundub radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Okay, so as far as the first hadith, any concerning the ghusl on Yawm al-Jumu'ah, an Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, ghuslu Yawm al-Jumu'ati واجب على كل محتلم أخرجه السبعة. Okay, this hadith يعني is on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the taking of a bath, the ghusl, on the day of Jumu'ah, yarhamukallah, is wajibun, is obligatory upon every muhtalim. Muhtalim meaning what?
Impure.
The person who reached the age of maturity, responsibility. Yani the ghusl on Yawm al-Jumu'ah is obligatory upon every person who reached the age of responsibility. Akhrajahu as-sab'atu. And in some books, the expression used is al-jama'a. Yani what is meaning by as-sab'atu? Seven collectors. Ahmed, Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasa'i. Akhrajahu as-sab'atu. So if we say Akhrajahu as-sab'atu, that's also muttafaqun alayhi. Any question about this hadith? Ghuslu yawm al-jumu'ati wajibun ala kulli muhtalim. Okay, that is hadith number 8. And in the text, we have the hadith of Samura. Yani under the title of Ma'ana al-Hadith, on page 23, yani about one third down the page from the top, we have the meaning of the hadith is clear. واختلف العلماء في وجوب غسل يوم الجمعة فذهب الجمهور إلى أنه سنة مؤكدة لحديث سامورا. Yani based upon the hadith of Samura, the majority of scholars held that the ghusl on Yawm al-Jumu'ah is a confirmed sunnah. What is the hadith of Samura رضي الله عنه؟ قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من توضأ يوم الجمعة فبها ونعمت ومن اغتسل فالغسل أفضل رواه الخمسة وحسنه الترمذي. Okay, this hadith, yani the hadith of Samura, hadith number 9, is yani his report that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever makes ablution, whoever performs ablution on the day of Jumu'ah, فبها ونعمت, then this is fine. ومن اغتسل, but whoever takes a complete bath, then taking a complete bath, a ghusl, is better. Reported by Al-Khamsa, and Al-Khamsa we mean who?
Ahmed,
Abu Dawud, Al-Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah. Yani Ahmed and the four Sunan. So this hadith is collected by the five. وَحَسَّنَهُ Al-Tirmidhi, and Al-Tirmidhi declare it to be a good and acceptable hadith. Yani Hassan means the hadith is a lower grade than the Sahih, but it's also acceptable as a proof in the Sharia. Okay, hadith number 10. An Abi Qatadata radiyallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha dakhala ahadukumul masjida fala yajlis hatta yusalli rakataini. Muttafaqun alayh. This hadith on the authority of Abu Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him, he said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and note here in our textbook, it said, he said, qala qala Rasulullah, yani the word Rasul has fatta on the lamb, fatta should be dhamma. Qala قال رسول, قال رسول فاعل مرفوع بالضمة صلى الله عليه وسلم. If any one of you enters the masjid فلا يجلس, لا ناهية, then do not sit. يجلس should be مجزوم with سكون. فلا يجلس حتى يصلي, يصلي should be يعني منسوب with فتحة because of حتى يعني أن المضمرة إن حتى, حتى يصلي. And also here حتى يصلي, يصلي has a شد on the ya with فتحتين, should be just الضمة يصلي ركعتين متفق عليه. يعني no one of, whoever, if any one of you enters the masjid then he must not sit or she must not sit until he performs the prayer of two rak'ah. Muttafaqun alayhi, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Any question? Okay, on the second side of our study sheet, on the top of the page, hadith number 11, عن أبي هريرة. يعني this hadith is related to the arkan of salat, يعني the important essential pillars of the salat. This hadith does not include the description of every act in the salat, but it includes the pillars, the essential elements of the salat. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. Again, this hadith came with the expression النبي. Most of the hadith came Rasulullah. This one came, number 11. يعني أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا قمت إلى الصلاة فأسبغ الوضوء ثم استقبلي القبلة فكبر, يعني with سكون on the ra, ثم اقرأ with سكون on the حمزة بما تيسر. يعني I think in our book it doesn't have B, just اقرأ ما تيسر معك من القرآن. But it should be يعني as it came in Bukhari and in Muslim came ثم اقرأ بما تيسر معك من القرآن. In any case, if you memorize it without B, it's okay. It's okay because it came in other narrations also without B, so it's permissible either way. If it's difficult for you to re-memorize it, no problem. However you came, the way it came in the textbook or the way it came here is okay. ثُمَّ اقْرَ بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ ثُمَّ ارْكَعْ with سكون يعني مجزوم حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ رَاكِئًا ثُمَّ ارْفَعْ with سكون حَتَّى. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. The time is racing upon us. Okay, so let's move right along. Okay, back to hadith number 11, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, إِذَا كُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَأَصْبِغِ الْوُضُوءَ ثُمَّ اسْتَقْبِلِ الْقِبْلَةَ فَكَبِّرْ ثُمَّ اقْرَأْ بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ ثُمَّ اركَعْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ رَاكِعًا ثم ارفع راكعا وعليكم السلام ثم ارفع حتى تعتدل وتستوي قائما. As it came in Bukhari, تستوي, in other narration it came تعتدل. ثم اسجد حتى تطمئن ساجدا ثم ارفع حتى تطمئن جالسا ثم اسجد حتى تطمئن ساجدا. And in some of the narrations of Bukhari it had, not in our textbook, ثم ارفع حتى تستوي قائما ثم فعل ذلك في صلاتك كلها. أخرجه السبعة واللفظ للبخاري ولابن ماجة. And for ابن ماجة it has حتى تطمئن قائما. Okay, this hadith of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if any one of you stands up for salat, then let him perform his ablution well. فَأَسْبِغُ الْوُضُوءُ complete, well done ablution. ثُمَّ اسْتَقْبِلَ الْقِبْلَةَ then he must face the Qibla, يعني the direction of Mecca. فَكَبِّرْ then he should say, Allahu Akbar. ثُمَّ اقْرَأْ بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ then he should read whatever is easy for him to read from the Quran. ثم ركع حتى تطمئن راكيا. Then he should bow until he is in a state of ease and calmness in the bowing position. Then he should raise up حتى تعتدل أو تستوي قائما. These two words both came in Bukhari, تعتدل and تستوي. يعني until, يعني then he should rise up until he's standing up straight, upright. ثم اسجد حتى تطمئن ساجدا. Then he should prostrate until he is calm and at ease in prostration. And then he should rise up until he is يعني calm and at ease in the sitting position. And then he should prostrate until he is calm and at ease in the prostration position. And our textbook doesn't have the wording here that's in brackets. Then he should rise up until he, and he stands upright, straight up in the standing position. And then he must do that, yani these things that are mentioned here, all of that in the whole of his or her salat. Reported by As-Sab'ah, again we mean Ahmed, and the two Sahihs, Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and the four Sunan, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nasa'i, and Abu Dawood. And the exact wording here is from Bukhari, and Ibn Majah has حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ قَائِمًا, that is, in place of حَتَّى, yani in the beginning of the hadith, then he bows until he is at ease in bowing, and then he rises up from bowing until, yani in the wording here in Bukhari, it has حَتَّى تَعْتَدِلَ or حَتَّى تَسْتَوِيَ, in Ibn Majah it has حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ قَائِمًا. Okay, this hadith came with various different wordings, and during the time when we did this class, I sent to the class an email with some of the exact wording as it came in Bukhari, with highlighting the differences in the wording. Whoever wants to refer to them, it is for you. Otherwise, if you memorize it exactly the way it came in the textbook here, it is just fine, no problem. Okay, this hadith number 11 was on page 26, and now we're going to hadith number 12 on page 29. Hadith number 12 on page 29. Now, you don't have to. Yani whatever is in brackets that's not in the textbook, you don't have to include it. If you memorize it the way it's in the textbook, fine, no problem. Abdul Haq says you can include it. Don't leave it out. As you like. Okay, hadith number 12 is the hadith of Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرت أن أسجد على سبعة أعظم على الجبهة وأشار بيده على أنفه. On the textbook, إلى أنفه واليدين والركبتين وأطراف القدمين متفق عليه. Yani on the authority of Ibn Abbas, that is Abdullah, the son of Abbas, may Allah be pleased with both of them. He said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have been commanded, and in some narrations we have been commanded, to prostrate on seven bones. And then he explained what they are, عَلَى الْجَبْهَةِ, that is the forehead, وَأَشَارَ بِيَدِهِ عَلَى أَنْفِهِ or إِلَى أَنْفِهِ, either one is okay. It came in Bukhari, ala anfihi. In other narrations it came, ila anfihi. So he said the seven bones are the forehead, and when he said the forehead, he pointed to his nose, meaning that the nose is part of the forehead. That's the first of the seven bones, and then the second and third are the two hands, and the fourth and fifth are the two knees, and the first is the forehead, and the second and third are two hands, and fourth and fifth is the two knees. وَعَطْرَفَ الْقَدَمَيْنِ, yeah, and the extremities of the two feet are six and seven. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. And in Bukhari it also came with the wording وَلَا نَكْفِتَ الثَّوْبَ وَلَا الشَّعْرَ, and do not fold up your garment, yani in prayer, in prostration, do not fold up your garment, and neither do not tie up or fold up your hair. And this wording came in Bukhari, but it didn't come in our textbook. No problem. You don't have to include it. Just as a note. Okay, so in this hadith, what we want to pay attention to is the wording, وَأَشَارَ بِيَدِهِ عَلَى أَنْفِهِ وَإِلَى أَنْفِهِ. Either one of them yani that you came with, the textbook or the notes, is good. No problem. Any question? Okay, hadith number 13 on page 31. Yani if you don't have the notes, Ibrahim, there's no more copies left? There's no more? Oh, you have? Oh, give him one. Okay, hadith number 13. عن عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال صلاة الجماعة أفضل من صلاة الفذ بسبع وعشرين درجة متفق عليه. This hadith is concerning the excellence or virtue of the salat in jama'ah, in congregation, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar. May Allah be pleased with both of them, Abdullah and his father Umar, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the prayer in congregation is better, more virtuous than the prayer performed alone. Salatul Fadhi, yani a person praying by themselves, yani by 27 degrees better. Naam, agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Anybody? Question? طيب, the next hadith, page 33, al-hadith al-rabi ashra, the 14th hadith, concerning the excellence of the first row and other than that. يعني عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لو يعلم الناس ما في النداء والصف الأول ثم لم يجدوا إلا أن يستهموا عليه لاستهموا. يعني حمزة الوصل is in this word لا, not لا استهموا, لاستهموا. ولو يعلمون ما في التهجير لاستبقوا إليه. ولو يعلمون ما في العطمة والصبح لأتوهما ولو هبوا. متفق Ali. Yani this is hadith number 14 on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the people knew yani the virtue and excellence and what is contained in the nida, meaning the adhan, the call to prayer, person performing that act, calling the people to prayer, and if they knew the excellence and virtue and what is contained in praying in the saf al-awwal, the first rank, yani coming early to the prayer to pray in the first rank, and then they didn't find any way to get the opportunity to be the one to call the adhan or to pray in the first row, they didn't find any way to get that opportunity except that they had to draw lots, then they would have drawn lots. Yani they wouldn't just say, okay, no problem, you do it. No, they would say, I want it. And the other one would say, I want it, and they'll have to draw lots, right? Because everybody wants to be the one to call the adhan and to pray in the first row. That's the way it would be if people understood and they knew the virtue and excellence and reward for doing these things. And if the people knew the reward for at-tahjir, yani at-tabkir, coming to the salat early, they would have yani raced one another, competed with one another to get there early. And if the people knew what was contained in the al-atama, yani meaning the salat al-isha, and the subah meaning salat al-fajr, if they knew the virtue and excellence and reward in these two prayers, the Isha prayer and the Fajr prayer, they would have come to them even if they had to come crawling. Muttafaqun alayh, yani agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Page 36, hadith number 15, Al-Khamisu Ashara, concerning the adab or the manners of fasting. Yani this hadith is an Abi Hurairata رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من لم يدع قول الزور والعمل به والجهل فليس لله حاجة في أن يدع طعامه وشرابه رواه البخاري وأبو داود واللفظ له. حديث number 15 on the authority of Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, the Messenger of Allah, in our textbook, the love of Al-Jalala is missing. Yani, qala, qala, Rasul. It should say, qala, qala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever doesn't leave off false speech, like lying and false testimony and things like this, or acting in accordance with that which is false, or ignorant behavior. Whoever doesn't leave off these things, false speech and acting in accordance with falsehood and yani ignorant behavior, then Allah has no need, meaning Allah doesn't accept that they leave off their food and drink. There's no benefit in leaving off food and drink if you're not going to leave off the things that Allah made haram. Reported by Al-Bukhari and Abu Dawood, and the exact wording here is from Abu Dawood. The exact wording is from Abu Dawood. No. Az-Zuri. Zuri, yani mudawfan ilayhi majroor, with kasra. Hadith number 16, page 38. Concerning the ruling of eating and drinking forgetfully while one is fasting. Forgetfully while one is fasting. An Abi Hurairata radiallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man nasiya wa huwa sa'imun fa akala aw shariba فليتم صومه فإنما أطعمه الله وسقاه. متفق عليه. يعني on the authority of Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever forgets, وهو صائم, while he is fasting, while he is in a state of fasting, and he forgets that he's fasting, فأكل أو شرب, so he ate or drank due to forgetfulness, فَلْيُتِمَّ سَوْمَهُ, then he must complete his fast. Meaning must, once he remembers, or she remembers, have to stop whatever they're doing and complete the fast. For indeed, it is only Allah who has fed him or given him to drink. Agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Hadith number 17. Hadith number 17. An Abi Hurairata. And note that in the second 10 hadith, hadith number 11 is from Abu Hurairah. 12 and 13 is from Ibn Abbas and Ibn Umar. And then 14, 15, 16, 17 are all from Abu Hurairah. And 19 also from Abu Hurairah. So most of these hadith, out of these 10, 6 of them are from Abu Hurairah. And yani 2 of them from Ibn Abbas, and 1 from Ibn Umar, and 1 from Abu Dharr. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Hadith number 17. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال العمرة إلى العمرة كفارة لما بينهما والحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. متفق عليه. يعني on the authority of Abu Hurairah, this is concerning the excellence of repeating Umrah one after another, and the excellence of Hajj Mabrur, that is accepted, yani performed with its full rites, not including sin or transgression, fulfilling all of its duties, obligatory and voluntary. On the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah, again in the textbook, it has Anna Rasul, should be Anna Rasulallahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, the performance of Umrah, one performance of Umrah to another performance of Umrah, yani al-Umratu ila al-Umrati, from one performance of Umrah to the next one, is an expiation, kafaratun lima baynahuma, expiation of the sins that are committed in between the two performances of Umrah. Wal hajju al-mabruru, and the accepted Hajj, laysa lahu jaza'un illa jannah, there's no reward for it except Jannah. Muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And this hadith also has some fiqh we don't have time to discuss, but in any case, some of the scholars said the expiation of sins here, it means yani minor sins, and other scholars said no, yani al-hajj al-mubrur removes all sins. This is hadith number 17. Okay, hadith number 18 on page 42 is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. An ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sami'a. This word is missing from our textbook. Sami'a. Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam سمع رجلا يقول لبيك عن شبرمة قال من شبرمة قال أخ لي أو قريب لي قال حججت عن نفسك قال لا قال حج عن نفسك ثم حج عن شبرمة رواه أبو داود وغيره يعني حديث number 18 concerning the performance of Hajj for someone else on the authority of Ibn Abbas may Allah be pleased with both of them him and his father that the messenger of Allah the love of the Jalala he is missing from this expression Rasulullah yani is missing here so please write it in yani he said yani Ibn Abbas said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sami'a heard this word is missing heard a man saying labayka an shubrumata here I am at your command O Allah performing hajj on behalf of shubrumata qala yani the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him man shubrumatu who is shubruma and he said akhun li aw qaribun li a brother of mine or a relative of mine and the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said hajajta an nafsika have you performed pilgrimage for yourself first qala la the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he said no so the prophet said hujja an nafsika this is a command perform pilgrimage on behalf of yourself thumma hujja an shubrumata and then you may perform hajj yani on the next year or in the following time on behalf of shubruma reported by abu daud wa ghayruhu this hadith is collected by abu daud and others and shaykh al-albani so did as-sahih and so did ibn hibban and others okay hadith number 18 Hadith number 19 on page 44, yani the hadith of Abu Huraira, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من مات ولم يغزو ولم يحدث به نفسه or as it came in our textbook ولم يحدث نفسه بالغزو مات على شعبة من نفاق and in our notebook it has من النفاق but the wording as it came in Muslim يعني رواه مسلم the wording as it came in Muslim is as we have affirmed it here من مات ولم يغزو ولم يحدث به نفسه that's how it came in Sahih Muslim but if you memorize it from the textbook ولم يحدث نفسه بالغزو no problem مات على شعبة من نفاق with تنوين that's how it came in Sahih Muslim And it came in some other narrations, min an-nifaqi with alif lam. However, you memorized it, no problem. Rawahu Muslim. Okay, so this hadith, you know, is the hadith of Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, the Messenger of Allah. Also in this hadith, yani the wording is missing the lafz al-jalala. Qala, qala rasul, it should be, qala, qala rasulullahi. صلى الله عليه وسلم من مات ولم يغزو ولم يحدث نفسه بالغزو ولم يحدث به نفسه يعني whoever died and he didn't perform الغزو يعني he didn't go out fighting in the way of Allah ولم يحدث نفسه nor did he even desire or encourage himself to do so then this person has died upon a branch of hypocrisy reported by Imam Muslim and others. Yani al-Bayhaqi reported in Sunan al-Sughra and Ibn Abi Nuaym reported in al-Hilya with the wording as it came in our textbook. But the wording in Sahih Muslim is as we have offered it here. Okay, this is hadith number 19. And the final hadith number 20 is on page 46. The hadith of Abu Dharr. And an Abi Dharrin radiallahu عنه قال قال النبي again here the wording came النبي instead of Rasulullah and in most of the hadith as we said earlier came with Rasulullah this is one of the few that came with النبي قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إخوانكم خولكم جعلهم الله تحت أيديكم فمن كان أخوه تحت يده فليطعمه يعني with سكون on the meme فليطعمه مما يأكل وال يلبسه مما يلبسوا ولا تكلفوهم ما يغلبهم فإن كلفتموهم فأعينوهم متفق عليه. And this is the final hadith, hadith of Abu Dharr. And there's also يعني, some wording problem with this hadith. The hadith of Abu Dharr رضي الله, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إخوانكم خوالكم. يعني your brothers or your servants. Or your servants are in fact actually your brothers. They are brothers. Treat them like brothers. جعلهم الله تحت أيديكم. But Allah has placed them under your authority and your power to command them to serve you. فَمَنْ كَانَ أَخُوهُ تَحْتَ يَدِهِ. So whoever finds his brother underneath his hand, يعني under his authority, فَلْيُطْعِمْهُ. يعني لام الأمر makes the مُضَارِ verb here مَجْزُوم with سكون. فَلْيُطْعِمْهُ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ. So feed him, then he must feed him from what he himself eats. وَلْيُلْبِسْهُ. Again, لام الأمر makes the مضارع verb مجزوم وال يلبسه with سكون on the scene مما يلبسه. So he also must clothe him from the like of what he clothes himself. ولا تكلفوهم ما يغلبهم. And don't يعني demand from them a, يعني task them with a job that will overcome them, يعني will be too difficult or hardship upon them. فَإِن كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ فَعِينُوهُمْ. And if you do task them with something that is very difficult or impossible for them to do, then you must help them. Again, the wording here in the book has فَإِن تَكَلَّفُوهُمْ. Ta, with ta, it should be فَإِن كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ. فَإِن كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ فَأَعِينُوهُمْ. If you task them with something that's very difficult, then help them. Muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Okay, any question? Khawal? Slave and servant, is it the same? Yani khawal here, it means يعني someone who is has been given some task to do for you, they are responsible for something. Like يعني they could be a slave, they could be a servant, they could be an employee. So يعني somebody who works for you, or somebody who serves you as a servant, or if you have a slave, all of that is applicable. Then you should يعني treat them with respect and honor, even though they are your slave or your servant or your worker. Don't, yani because you're the boss, so you disrespect and belittle people, this is un-Islamic. Now,
the slaves that we have nowadays, you know, back then we have, last name, you consider them slave, you give them a slave, these are these. Is that the same slave that, you know, before they do the time of course?
The slave that they have today, what slave do you mean? I don't understand.
And they work for you? They serve you, like if you have marriage or for example, they're the ones that cook for you.
Do they get paid?
You give them,
Where do they live at?
Where they live?
Yeah.
They live in their house, their own.
In their own house?
Their own house.
So why do they serve you if they don't get paid? So they're obligated to serve you?
Not obligated, but it's like, it's the culture.
Okay, I don't understand it at all. But in any case, if there are some people who are considered of a lesser class in your society, and for that reason they are expected to serve you on certain occasions, and you don't have to pay them, but maybe you can pay them if you want to. So they are not really slaves. But, yani, they are like servants who, yani, whatever, however you want to classify it. But in any case, somebody help this brother. So in any case, yani, they should be respected. They should be respected, as your brothers, yani, in Islam. inshallah, and have honor them in the way that, you know, everyone else should be honored, even though they're servants or workers or employees or slaves or whatever. Naam, Faiz. Lastahimu. Yeah, that means if they didn't find any way to get to be the one who calls the adhan, or to be in the first row, they didn't find any way. If so many people want to get in the first row, how will we decide who gets there? We don't have any way. It's not enough space. So if the only way that you can get in the first row is you have to draw lots. Draw lots. Yeah, and you put everybody's name in the box or in the bag or in the hat, and then whoever's name is pulled out, they get to be in the first row, or they get to be the one to call the adhan. If that's the only way you can get to do it, because nobody will give up that right. Everybody says, no, I want to be the one. So then the only way to solve the problem, draw lots. If that was the only way, then the people would draw lots. They wouldn't say, okay, no problem, you take the first row. No, they wouldn't say that. They would say, no, I want the first row. We got here the same time. No, we came the same in the door at the same time. And the row is full. So nobody is going to give it up. They're going to say, we have to draw lots. But today, anyway, the people don't care about the first row. They came in early and they sat in the back of the masjid. And they pray in the last row. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. So we're going to stop here because it's time, almost time for the iqama. Barakallahu fikum. Just keep in mind, brothers and sisters, that next week, inshallah, we're going to have a written exercise. Please come and try to write. If you don't feel you did well, you can keep your paper. You don't have to turn it in. But come. Come and participate and try. And if you don't do well and you turn your paper in, we're not going to post the scores, right? We're just going to correct it for you, for your own benefit. And everybody who participates, inshallah, and we will try to find some kind of nice gift for you, for everybody who participates. Just come, please, and try. Write something. And if you get half of the hadith, alhamdulillah, that's excellent. If a person got 10 out of 20, that's good. Huh? Time limit? There's no time limit. We'll start, yani when you get here, whatever time you get here, we'll start 12 o'clock, and then we'll go until 1 o'clock, 1:30, you have to stop for prayer. Okay, after prayer, if you want to go back and continue, even though we have another class, you can sit in the corner and keep writing until 2 o'clock, until 3 o'clock, until whatever time you get here. But if you stay until iftar, then you have to stop at iftar, okay? You have to stop and break fast and have something to eat and turn in your paper. Or take it home, no problem. Okay?
Spelling.
Huh?
Spelling.
I know, we're going to be very lenient with spelling. If you make a little mistake here or there, a little voweling wrong or something, I'll just try to identify it so that you're aware of it. But yani, we're not going to like just mark the hadith completely wrong. Just for a little one vowel or something. But we're going to highlight it so you know that it's a mistake, right? And if you make a lot of mistakes, hundreds of them, we might take off a couple of points here or there, but we're not going to slay you. We're not going to kill you, okay? Barakallahu feek. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika.